Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church on this eve of the celebration of the Declaration of Independence. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people he hath chosen for his own inheritance.
For prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we love you and praise your name because of your faithfulness to your people everywhere. As a public service in our community and the country, we are reminded in the scripture to pray for our president, and so we pray that you give him the wisdom to know and to do what is right, and the courage to say no to all that is contrary to your statutes of the holy law. We thank you for this land so fair and free. We are grateful for the people who have come to our shores with customs and accents to enrich our lives. Lord, give us a voice to praise your goodness in this land of living men, and a will to serve you now and always. It is an honor to have missionaries around the world, and we pray for your mercy and encouragement in each one of them. We plead for Carol in Rudnott in Seville, Spain, for Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Benalmadena, Spain, for Fred and Carol Lewis, who are now sick, confined to a waiting stage in his life, for the Athletic Sport Association of San Jose, for the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in Gilroy, California, for Martha Peretti in Argentina and the Rehabilitation Center, for Daniel Lacey in the Motorsport Ministry today in the East Coast, for Giovanni and Daniel in Guatemala, and for Dave Rhodes in Papua New Guinea. Father, we plead for those who are sick, and we remember Loretta Forrest in bed, Betty Tarp, Jorge Peretti, Mike Cloth in San Diego, now in the hospital, a listener from us and a friend, a personal friend. Raquel, Lord, with the lung virus, and we pray for your mercy, and for Helen Manning for her full recovery. We pray for those in vacation that they be careful to worship you in every way possible. Lord, may thy kingdom come and thy will be done as we together here in our auditorium, and there over the airways of KKNC Radio, and in the internet, tape ministry and CD ministries, fellowship together in this service. Lord, without your word, we have nothing to say, and without your spirit, we are helpless. Therefore, give us your word today, and let the spirit show us your way. And now, once again, we magnify your name because of your provision and care for the ministry of the gospel. Bless the offering. Bless the giver. Bless those who do not understand the gospel so that they too can be a part of the great church of the living God. In our beloved Savior's name, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Psalms. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 352. We will be reading Psalm 33, verses 1 through 12. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Psalm 33, verses 1 through 12. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Amen. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that your word is right, and thank you for the marvelous gift that you have given us in the Bible, through which we have come to know you and the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. We come here today to hear that word so that we may better love, honor, and obey you. Our confidence is only in you only, knowing that nothing can thwart your purposes and that you are in absolute control of history. We pray for our nation that we may repent of our national sin and acknowledge that all our blessings are from your hand. As it is written in Psalm 115, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. We pray now for our teacher and our pastor, Gabriel Otero. We ask that you would bless him and guide him as he reveals the truths of Scripture and give us ears to hear. We pray for those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD that they also may be blessed by the exposition of your word. We pray especially that the gospel will reach the ears of the unsaved, that they may believe it and know the joy of your salvation promised through the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. And just briefly, I want to tell the congregation, thank you for your prayers for Raquel. She has a dangerous virus, lung infection. She's stable, and hopefully with Miriam here, she will rest and get out in good shape. Wednesday, we will know what the final decision of the doctor will be. But it's a very serious, one of those viruses that causes fatal consequences. And we thank God that she slept last night well, and for 5 hours, which the doctor confirmed is a sign of recovery. So praise God. Now this morning we make a parenthesis in our series of the Beatitudes, and we are receiving a lot of emails telling us how they enjoy the Beatitudes. Well, good news, these are Jesus' servants, and we all enjoy it when we read it. Now today we celebrate our 229th anniversary of our independence. And I'd like to speak to you about one nation under God. Out of these beautiful texts in Psalm 33 and in verse 12 that our brother have read today. Blessed is the nation whose God is Jehovah. The Bible doesn't say, blessed is the nation who believe in God in a general way. The Bible narrows down And the man who came to America understood that the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is Jehovah. The best way to understand how we can be blessed is to look upon the nation that God have created and failed, and then God rebuilt it. And so this morning, I'd like to go back to the foundations of Israel and walk with you through Israel's progress in different parts of their life. And then, surprisingly enough, read the text of the Bible where Israel failed totally and see the consequences why Israel, with God as their leader, failed. And then compare ourselves. And then go to the recovery road and have hope for America. The nation of Israel starts in Genesis chapter 12. So you can turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 12, page 7. And your Bible is just at the very beginning. The nation starts with a family who believe in God. The nation of Israel starts with a family who believe in God. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. Now the Lord has said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And you and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Verse 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Now, I'm going to be 70 soon, and I feel that maybe it's my time for retirement. But when I read that text, this man just started at 75, so there is no room for retirement, don't we? A family who believe in God. That's how the nation of Israel start. God spoke to Abram, and Abram listened, have no questions about it. He do not ask, what direction should I go? What is in the other side where you are sending me in? Remember, they were not satellites, so they don't know what that land is, look like it. He doesn't know even what line, how far is to the east or to the west. He only listened to God, and he said, God, if you say so, let's do it. A family who believe in God. Now, if you go to the last chapter of Genesis, and we touched that last Sunday, but not only was a family who believed in God, but was a family who was very united. Out of Abraham came Isaac, and Isaac, Jacob, and out of Jacob, 12 children, actually 13 children. And they were children like yours and mine. They fight, and there was envy, as you know, and anger in trying to destroy one. And one of them who they tried to destroy raised to power. And he's in a foreign nation, he's in Egypt, in power. And now his land is, his father is hungry, his brother's going to die. And he remembered that he was a Jew. And let me read it for you, Genesis chapter 50 and verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. Now, Joseph was that part of the family of Israel. So they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, before your father die, he commanded, saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now, please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are your servants.
Now, these are the people that wanted, actually killed him before. Verse 19, Joseph said, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God?" How wonderful it is that we don't have to judge people, don't we? Am I in the place of God? "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and he spoke kindly to them. A family who is united. You know, a united family is very powerful. A united family is very powerful. Israel is not yet a nation. Nevertheless, the spirit of Joseph, the leader of the world, prime minister of Egypt, he is united with his family. The nation of Israel not only was a family, started by a family who believed in God and a family who was united, but a family that grew and multiplied. Look at the next page, is the book of Exodus in chapter 1. And this family multiplied. The verse 1 in chapter 1 says, "Now these are the names of the children of Israel who came to Egypt. Each man and his household came with Jacob, Reuben and Simeon, Levi and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun and Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. All those who were descendants of Jacob were 70 persons, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, all his brothers and all that generation. But the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiply and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. And now there arose a new king in Egypt who did not know Joseph." So this nation multiplied. There were no gathering people from foreign countries. They multiplied within themselves. It was a pure race. And they go on and on and on, and they had children and grandchildren, and the nation multiplied. The Bible testified in verse 7 that the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiply and grew exceedingly mighty. And the land was filled with them. They were everywhere. These are the family of Israel. Now, this family, this nation that was found through this family, will not surrender to slavery. Look in Exodus 12, please. Go with your Bible to Exodus chapter 12 with me in verse 31. Exodus 12, 31. The nation of Israel started with a family who believed in Jehovah, a family who was united because of this belief, a family who multiplied, a family that do not surrender to slavery. After they multiplied so much, Egypt determined that they're going to put them to a slavery because it was dangerous for their own sake. In verse 31 in Exodus 12, read, "And then he called Moses and Aaron by night," this is Pharaoh, "and said, 'Rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord as you have said.'" Now, these come at the end of 10 plagues. Remember the plagues? Some of you in Sunday school studied the plagues. When Moses went to Pharaoh and said that he need to go, Pharaoh said, "And who is your God that I will let you go?" And each time you harden your heart to God, you make it difficult for yourself. Not for God, you make it difficult for yourself. And Pharaoh experienced a disaster. Remember the plagues of locusts? You know, can you imagine you're walking in the street and you are full of locusts now all over you. Remember the rivers turned into blood? There was a disaster. But the worst disaster was, remember when the first son died, and Pharaoh's son died. And therefore, he said, "I cannot take it any longer." And one of the things I want to impress to you is this: Moses never had the idea too quick to fight for the freedom of Israel. This was a nation that will never surrender to slavery. Now, the family became a nation. You know, you are not a nation. You can be a family, a large family, occupy a whole country, it's still a family, until you become a nation. In order to become a nation, you need to have a constitution, a law, and be united by law. So this nation had. Look at in chapter 20, Exodus, go with your Bible to chapter 20, and I'm going to read for you what you already know. I have preached on these in several years, but I read it for you, the Ten Commandments. This is the constitution of Israel from chapter 1 to verse 17. And God spoke all these words, saying, verse 2, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. And this is the constitution of Israel. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who take his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. See, God established a social everything. Remember, I preach on this. A complete life scheme is in these laws. And by the seventh day, verse 10, is Sabbath of the Lord your God. And in it you should do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is an of your neighbor. Now look at verse 18. Now all the people witness the thundering, the lightning, the flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain is smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. In other words, God handled the constitution. It was not a light thing. It was not something that they can modify or rectify or amend. Here is the constitution. It's perfect. Doesn't need amendment. Doesn't need any addition. So the family, after that, they walk out of Mount Zion with a constitution in their hand. They were a family before. Now they are a nation. This nation was chained to this constitution. Go to the fifth book of the Bible, the book of Deuteronomy. Is in page 124, chapter 11. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11. And let's read together verse 22 to 25 to show you that this nation was entirely glued together, if we can say, to the Constitution. Deuteronomy, chapter 11, and verse 22. And God is speaking, and you know, Deuteronomy means second time, nomos means law, that's a Greek name, law. Theo is a Greek name, means two. Second time, the law, because remember, Moses broke the law. For if you carefully keep all these commandments which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God and walk in all his ways and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out of these nations from before you, and you will dispossess greater and mightier nations than yourself. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours, from the wilderness and the Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even to the western sea shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will put the dread of you and the fear of you upon all the land where you tread, just as he has said to you. Now the success, the military success, the political success of this nation was in the same proportion as they followed their constitution. That is very, very important. Verse 22 is the clue. In some Bibles, even verse 22 is in bold numbers because it's the clue to Israel. For if you carefully keep all the commandments, which I command you to do. Not just keep the commandment, carefully keep the commandment. It's a constant review in our life. Are we doing what God said we must do? I imagine people who do not have opportunity in church to read the Bible, how are they going to keep what God said? I imagine homes where people do not read the Bible, how do the children will know what God said? The success of a nation doesn't depend on the military power, economical power, or political power. It depends on your relationship to Jehovah. This is what God said. But if you careful, keep the commandment which I command you to do, to love your God and to walk in his ways and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will start working in you. So it's a nation that is glued to the Constitution. This nation achieved invincibility. Nobody can stand before them under a great leader, captain of the armies of Israel and prime minister of Israel, Joshua. Let's look to the next book in the book of Joshua, and you will see the greatness of this nation. Joshua chapter 21. Now remember, and you need to remember a little bit of history, Joshua chapter 21 and verse 43, we're going to start reading. You need to remember that God promised Abraham all the land where he goes. And so far, they were in way up in Egypt. And the whole nation became a real mighty people. Remember that we read in Exodus? Multiply and became a lot of people. They were not in the land that God told Abraham. God used Joshua to cross the land. Would God fulfill his word? Would God give this nation the entire land as he promised? Will God forgive some of the mistakes that people do because they are human? And when God see that really they want to serve him, will God give this Joshua the leadership to fulfill every detail that God says so? And some people think that God has to still give land to Israel. I have news for you. God gave Israel everything he promised. Let's read it. Joshua chapter 21, verse 43. So the Lord gave to Israel, circle that word, all the land of which he has sworn to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwell in it. Is God a liar? Is this a scripture wrong or what? Theology all around are made that God is still going to deal with Israel and give Israel the land. Already given to them. God gave the land. Verse 43, verse 44. The Lord gave them rest all around according to all that he has sworn to their fathers. And not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Praise the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, when God said, if you follow me, I give you this, he is not joking. He is not saying, well, I get him encouraged. He means what he says. He means what he says. And when God said, Israel, if you follow me, nobody can stand for you. He meant it. And he did it. We don't have to say, well, will God do it? He did it. He did it. Unfortunately, after we get blessed, we get loose. After we get too much money, we don't know what to do with it. After we get too much blessings, we destroy ourselves. Take the last book. Next book is Judges. Go to the last chapter of Judges in chapter 21. And before I read verse 25, let me tell you that after Israel was blessed to the core, you remember the scriptures in Deuteronomy said, you have wells that you know dig, you have land that you have not planted. After Israel was so rich and powerful, they start thinking, we did it. They start thinking, well, man, we Israelites are the real good people. And, well, we maybe don't need to follow God so close. We have everything we need. Why do we need God? You think of what you see in America is new? No, that happened in the heart of man. Jeremiah said, the heart of man is deceitful. Who will know it? In the next verse, verse 10 said, I, the Lord, knows the heart. And here it is, Israel, with so much power, so much economical success. Wine, I mean real wine, that people will buy from them. Corns, I mean the success of it. They have the best truck company with the cattle and all this. I tell you, nobody can stand the progress of this nation. You think of this nation, we hold on. The first thing they did, they said, we don't want God to rule us. We want a king like the other nations have. And you know what happened? God gave them judges. 13 of them, remember? Some of them were good, and some of them were a disaster. Look at what happened to Israel, verse 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eye. You look on it, and you said, well, wait a minute. What they have done? What happened? Why? A nation that was held by the hand of God, now they want to be loose from God and they lose everything. Were three considerations for you why this happened. Number one, because they put God out of their mind. You're in Judges 21. Go back to Judges chapter 3 and verse 7, page 160. Judges chapter 3 and verse 7, page 160. They put God out of their mind. The Bible says in Judges 3, 7, so the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served Baal and Asherah. They forgot. They put God out of their mind. That is the first thing that really happened. They forgot the Lord. They served idols, money, self-lust, and social life. God is gone in their mind first. In their mind. That's the first thing they did. Secondly, they put God out of their will. Go to chapter 2 and look with me, verse 17. Yet they will not listen to their judges, but they play the harlot with other gods and bow down to them. They turn quickly from the way in which their fathers walk and obey the commandments of the Lord. They do not do so. They put God out of their will. First come God out of your mind. Now I don't going to do what I need to do. God out of their will. Thirdly, they put God out of their reason. Look at Judges 3 and verse 15. But when the children of Israel cry out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for them, Ehud, the son of Jerah and Benjamin, a left-handed man. By him the children of Israel sent tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now Ehud made himself a dagger, and you know the story of this man, that he killed the king of Moab, but the worst part on this is chapter 4, verse 1, when Ehud was dead, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of God. Ehud restored Israel. He was a left-handed man, and he killed the king of Moab. They don't know. He used that technique and restored Israel. When this man was dead, Israel was dead also, and did evil in the sight of the Lord. They want to do what was right in their own eyes. That's it. That's the only hope they have. They put God out of their reason. They got a good judge, a good prime minister, a man who feared God, and as soon as this man is dead, they went back into their own situation. That's why Israel, for 2,000 years, was out of their land. And today is back in their land by the power of the United States only, but not by the power of God. United States is the one who is behind Israel. Otherwise, Israel will be on the sea. There are 11 nations of Arabs that can destroy Israel in minutes. But God, in his mighty hand, hold United States to help them. Would Israel love God? I have a professor of Hebrew, loved man, who is in jail in Tel Aviv for talking about Jesus in the university. Israel don't want to hear about Jesus, the Messiah. Israel denied Jesus to the very core. And so Israel is nothing today and will be nothing today unless they repented. Now, that's the story of Israel. They started like a family. They were blessed by God. God gave them a constitution. And Israel flourished to the point that nobody can stand them. They forgot the Lord and they're gone. Now let's see the counterpart. After thousands of years of false start in Europe and in the East, after forbidden fruits and wrong turns and tyrannies and license, as you read in history, man finally made the true beginning in human government. No more graven image, no more estate shepherds, no more kings and empires of emperors, no more unrestrained authority or state religion or mob rule. No more tyranny. Ladies and gentlemen, God gave us 229 years ago the great American Republic. It is a union without uniformity. It is a constitutional republic in which the power to govern was derived from God. And therefore, a check and balances devices were designed to stop any tyranny in these tracks. It was no easy task for the early Americans, those individualists, to agree on government. Each in his own way and in his own freedom, worship the Almighty God, but they were very individualists. They were not about to submit to another king of men or mob. So they gave us four fences, as I read in the Constitution, so that it could not get out of hand or out of bounds. Number one, the executive power, the president of the nation. Number two, the legislative power, who gave us the laws. The judicial power, who should interpret the law, and then the individual power that we vote on it. Unheard in the history of mankind. Each was to be check and balance of the other. And the final fence, the individual, was the greatest check of all. In California, we just a few years ago exercised that. A governor raised the electricity and went bananas with some things, and we elected another governor. We took it off. We don't went to the executive, to the judicial. We had the individual power to vote him out, and we did it. After God, the individual power, say the Constitution of the United States, is first. Before the president, before the law, before the judicial, the individual power is first. Only by his consent could government govern, and then only to protect his life and liberty and property, not just his, but all mankind equally. So the founders, fathers, created a republic where God was honored and worshiped. Some people say, what's a republic? A collectivism? Communism? Democracy? Not on your life. A republic. A republic. A government of law, not men. That's a republic. Where the rights of the minority were protected. Where the rights of the majority were upheld but not permitted to be destructive. Where the process of change were provided for, but in a manner that prevented capricious acts or wantons of mankind. I did a little chart on the world government. There are three: autocracy, republic, and democracy. Autocracy give us tyrants, republic give us a statesman, democracy give us demagogues. Autocracy give us bondage, republic give us liberty, democracy give us license. Autocracy give us oppression, the republic give us reason, the democracy give us impulse. Autocracy give us feudalism, republic give us property rights, democracy give us socialism. Autocracy give us reaction, republic give us progress, democracy give us chaos. Israel didn't keep their nation. I wonder if we are to keep our nation. What can be done? Are we able to keep America Republic? Are we able to keep it? What can be done? Many years ago, I thought to run for senator. I ran that idea. I did it in South America and win. And I said, I'm going to do it again to stand. I love politics. But I found that the secret of success is not in a senator who stands for God. It's in something else. I read the book of Joshua completely many times. And I said, what was this guy's secret? The one man alone became the success of Israel. It is found in Joshua 24. Will you turn your Bible, please, to Joshua 24, page 157. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. The Bible says, and now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity. This is Joshua leaving the podium to the new generation. This is Joshua going away into death. He's going to die. And he said, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Verse 15. And if seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the God which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is what Joshua said. If you individually, as a family, can keep God Jehovah, you can keep America. This is what I found. The formula is not in a good man be elected, which is good, but the key is that if each Christian can keep themselves faithful to God, God will be faithful to America. Again, we go back to the principles of Benjamin Franklin. The power comes into the individual. What you do as an individual will affect the entire nation. And if we as individual, don't worry about your neighbor, don't worry about anybody. If you as an individual will serve the Lord, God will bless America again. The only security of America is you. That's the only security. Are you a child of God through Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you blessing your family by reading the Word of God? If we all do it, then we will keep the American Republic and we will be safe by the hands of God. May God bless us in that way. Father, thank you that you gave us today a review of what you have done in the land. We thank you, Father, that you brought us together. We thank you, Father, that you put us together as a nation 229 years ago. And because you put us together, we flourish. We confess to you that America is far away from the American Republic that was founded. A court has established that the commandments can be placed in court only if it's history but had no value. Father, wake up the people of America. We need to be faithful to you. But Father, we are not responsible for all the people. We are responsible for ourselves. So make me a good servant of thy kingdom. And make every family here a faithful family of thy kingdom. And America will be secure. In Jesus, we're thankful. Amen.
Thank you.
have the important meeting of the Lord's Supper. We're going to call Brother Jack, Brother Plica, and Brother Dulilo here to come for serving the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is not a ceremony whereby you get saved. The Lord's Supper is a ceremony that we celebrate because we are saved. And you may be seated, gentlemen. And as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we emphasize the fact that it is the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, actually his life, who died on our behalf and is our blessing. So if you're not a member of this church, you can participate because this is the body of Christ, which is from every nation and from every church around the world. You judge yourself again. Like Joseph said, I am not God. I'm not going to judge you. You judge yourself, and if you know that you know God through the Lord Jesus Christ, you might participate freely. The pastor will open, and the deacons will serve you the bread, and you wait until the pastor is served, and then we all participate together, and as well as the fruit of the vine. In the Gospel of Matthew, it's easy to find 26:26. In chapter 26, and in verse 26, Jesus is in the rich home of Marcus in the mountain. And they are celebrating the last dinner. And I imagine the shock when Jesus, out in the middle of the dinner, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave to the disciple and said, take it, this is my body. Now, why did Jesus say that? Jesus said that because until then, the body of salvation was a lamb. And now he takes away the focus from the lamb to his own body. He is the lamb of the world. The deacons may stand, please. Brother Plica, will you thank the Lord for the body of Christ? I say it again, the replacement of the lamb is the body of Christ. Jesus said, take it, this is my body. Then Jesus said, the Bible said, they partake of the bread. Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant. Before was the blood of the lamb, and it had to be sprinkled 7 times, remember, on the burnt offering. And this is for many, not for everybody, but for many, for the remission of sin. And so may you rest by faith upon the blood of Christ on Calvary cross, that your sins have been taken care of by a payoff of Jesus with his blood. That's what the Bible says. The church cannot save you. The pastor cannot save you. God can save you. And he provided through Christ Jesus our Lord. May the deacons stand, please. Brother Lilo, will you thank the Lord for his life?
Lord, you've taught us that there is no forgiveness of sins, Lord, without the remission of blood.
Amen.
And God, just help us to use this ceremony as a time that we can remember what you've done for us.
Amen.
We learned today in Sunday school, Lord, that the great forgiveness that you gave, Lord, even though we deny you, that you've never denied us.
Amen.
And God, just help us use this time to remember the sacrifice that you gave and what we can do, Lord, to serve you. Help us all to do that today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. on the first Sunday of every month, we have a benevolence in the church. Already has spent over $700 on people around here. But I have received a request for medical expenses for a lady by the name Tia, which is related to the Hudson family by being the fiance of the older son. And she is a very, very sick person. And there are two chunk of expenses that she's facing. One is in the rehabilitation center, and the other is to keep the insurance going so the insurance can pay most of the bulk of their expenses. The total is $1,770. The insurance is $845. It will cover all until the end of the year. So let's see if God will bring us a big offering today just to give it to the Hudson family so the Hudson can bring it to their future daughter-in-law and pay that insurance so she at least can rest the insurance is paid. One of those emergencies, they affect us and will be good. Will you come forward, please, as we pray? Father, we pray that in this emergency for Tia, we will be generous and help her to have the peace of mind that her insurance is covered. And so the other people will help in other areas, but at least the main bulk of the insurance will be paid, and she can have the treatment in the rehabilitation center. We thank you, Lord, for your provision to us, and we thank you for the good heart you have given us to share with others. In Jesus, we thank you. Amen. Your Holy Spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.